Hi. Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Ria Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive, successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you will stow in your messenger bag until you need its flair. This week's tool is fashion and why it is important to find your personal style and learn to express yourself both in life and in business, and how this can be a great contributor to your brand. My bitch a fashion killer, she be busy popping tags. She got a lot of Prada, that Dolce & Gabbana. I can't forget Escada and that Balenciaga. I'm sipping purple syrup, come be my Aunt Jemima. And if you is a rider, we go shopping like manana. Her attitude Rihanna, she get it from her mama. Okay, so let's start with what we mean by fashion. Fashion is a constant presence in a person's life. It is the daily task of choosing what to adorn ourselves with for the day, and it is not only used to protect modesty, but it is used for self-expression. Fashion can be the conventional sense of it, which is all about catwalks and couture, or even a way to track cultural archaeology as depicted in the book Fashion, A History from the 18th to the 20th Century by Kyoto Costume Institute. As a testimony to attire as an essential manifestation of our very being, and to the Institute's passion for fashion as a complex and intricate art form. Having a sense of fashion is a very important commodity in today's world of Instagram accounts generating revenue and Instagram stars. And Instagram is so much more than a platform for pretty pictures. It's the fastest growing social media network with an engaged community, a major marketing tool for brands, and a hub where products can be bought with a simple double tap. Not up on your current Instagram tricks? Don't worry. There's a book for that too, to instruct you how to take your fashion sense to the next level of being a professional. Same thing for bloggers. And one of my new favorite books is We Are Never Going to Meet in Real Life, a book of a series of essays written by blogger Samantha Irby, whose blog is a carefully orchestrated marketplace amongst serial comic writings. And fashion can simply mean finding your personal style, which is like finding your voice, but in an artistic way expressed through our appearance. Whether it is a sleeve of tattoos, fuchsia hair, vintage accessories, platform heels, vegan purses, or simply a statement t-shirt, what we choose to visually present ourselves is how people literally and figuratively see us. So if you wear fur, for example, it shows that you willfully contribute to the suffering of earthlings. Fashion shows that we are feeling good about ourselves, which is all about confidence. Take, for example, the Look Good, Feel Better movement. For those not familiar, Look Good, Feel Better is dedicated to improving the quality of life and self-esteem of people undergoing cancer treatment. The program offers complimentary group, individual, and online sessions that teach beauty techniques to help people with cancer to face their diagnosis with greater confidence. This confidence may not cure cancer, but research demonstrates that it does help. In the book, Looking Up, The Complete Guide to Looking and Feeling Good for the Recovering Cancer Patient by Susie Kalter, it is heavily discussed how important so many aspects of treatment are to a woman's appearance and how to address them successfully. And you can find all the books and the articles mentioned in our program on our webpage at wcbe.org, as well as our podcast, and you can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. Heard of Dress for the Job You Want? Turns out that actually works. In an article in the Washington Journal, based on a study in the Journal of Experimental Psychology that used a number of scientific method measures, found out that wearing nicer clothes may raise one's confidence level, and then it affects how others perceive the wearer, and in some cases even boosts the level of one's abstract thinking, the type in which leaders and executives engage in. So, fashion is in essence a force to be reckoned with. My husband always says that we need to be considerate of others who have to look at us all day long. So clearly, a tool we want to get a handle on. But some might argue that other people's opinions don't matter. Sometimes people's opinions do matter, as we saw in business situations, but that's a whole different thing. And as we have learned here on U Inc. today, the bottom line is wear what you want as a person, because that's what matters. Clothes express what people think. And if you dress like everyone else, then you aren't expressing what you think. Fashion is the first step out of poverty. You have nothing, and then you put something on. It is one of the first things you do to elevate yourself. And that is a quote from Yuccia Prada, heralded designer and head of the iconic Prada fashion conglomerate.
enchanté. Comment allez-vous? Très bien, merci. Super good, super nice. Salt and pepper, sugar and spice. Space sugar cakes to the moon, let's go. Coco Chanel, Marilyn Monroe. Catwalk, fashion show. Runway, fashion show. Tournament, radio. G6, adios.
Our guest today has his hands on the pulse of fashion, both personally and professionally. In fact, when he moved here from Texas in 2005, he immediately noticed the lack of fashion-oriented events that were native. As a result, Tommy McClure founded Fashion Week Columbus. Since then, he has inspired his adopted city to be able to support a handful of other major fashion events and helped mold Columbus into possibly the fashion capital of the United States. Mr. McClure is himself a model and talent for film as well. He is a business developer, director of One Create, an agency that helps build the brands of businesses with every image, word, and creation to help them connect with their customers through a creative and innovative approach. Tommy McClure lives with his partner, Aaron, of 13 years, and their fur babies in the Short North District. And Mr. McClure is here with us today. Thank you for joining us on U Inc., Tommy.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. So without giving away your complete email address, why the Speed Racer in it other than the obvious reference to the anime show by the same name?
So it's funny because when Gmail first came out, I was dying to get a Gmail account. I think I'm aging myself in this process.
Okay.
And I tried Thomas McClure. I tried John McClure. That's my first name, by the way.
Oh.
John Thomas McClure.
Ah.
And Tommy McClure. Nothing. It was all taken.
Oh.
And so I just happened to be a really good but fast driver, and Speed Racer was what I thought would work, and it has nothing to do with the show Speed Racer or the movie. So and other friends think I've
that
actually
you were a fan.
Yeah,
right.
I've actually received gifts with Speed Racer stuff on it, and I'm just confused. I'm like, why do I have this? It's really interesting.
Okay, so there recently was an article back in May of this year in the New York Times comparing Nashville to Columbus because they are both vying for fashion capital of the U.S. and making the decision that Nashville was the winner. Moreover, putting us both behind New York and L.A., they made mention of your event, Fashion Week Columbus, and I think it was incredibly unfair and frankly just wrong. Stephen Kurtz, who wrote the article, writes, and I quote, "Fashion Week Columbus is scheduled for this October. It appears to have one runway show, a casting call for models, and some mixers. How did you not have this guy write a retraction? Fashion Week Columbus has a ton more going on besides what this unflattering description states."
So when this happened, the hashtag I think of is fake news is number one.
Nice.
And number two, I learned that he is a contributing journalist and he is not part of the New York Times staff.
Gotcha.
But
so you did investigate this.
Oh, well, I actually did more investigating than he did, obviously, right?
Right.
So anyhow, it's funny because this came out and I was just flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, there is no competition between Nashville and Columbus.
Right.
By the numbers alone, we are number three in the nation for fashion designers. We hire more fashion designers than every other city except LA and New York.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I visited Nashville Fashion Week's Instagram page, and they had an interesting post about this too.
Oh.
And it basically said, usually we like to spread positive news, but we really have to address this. And one of the things they said was, there is no rivalry between Nashville and Columbus.
Nice.
We didn't know about this.
Nice.
And neither did Columbus. And they said, we love what Fashion Week Columbus is doing. And so, to me, that was just a testament of someone trying to create a story. That's why I said hashtag fake news.
Right.
Because, how are you going to measure a fashion city by the kind of coffee houses they have?
Right, and the hotels.
In the hotels?
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So when that came out, I was tagged all over Facebook with this. And I untagged myself on every single one of those.
Uh-huh.
And I nicely addressed anybody's comments, because basically he did not do Fashion Week Columbus justice, but he didn't do Columbus justice
right,
at all.
Right. I thought it was really nice that you mentioned that Nashville also came out with that. That was great for kind of like a sisterhood copying with our cities. It's very nice.
Yes.
So there's currently a website called Next Level Style where people can sign up to get styled, no longer making it unachievable to dress for success for those of us who can't afford to hire a stylist on staff. So the website claims, "The reality is, if you aren't confident in how you look, regardless of your income, job, age, weight, eyesight, hairline, or anything else you think is holding you back, then it will be difficult, if not impossible, to have the life and career you want." So we have seen science prove this. So do you always dress for success? Because I have not seen one single shabby photo of you, like every time. And even times when I run into you around the city, you look absolutely fabulous.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, the good thing about social media is we can curate that ourselves, you know, whether it's an Instagram filter or a, you know, let me take 100 photos and put the best one up.
Right, that's true.
However, in person, you know, you can't really lie. That's why I don't use too many filters, because you're going to see me and realize, oh, you do have some wrinkles. Okay. You know, but your question, you know, do I ever or dressing for success?
Yeah.
I believe in that, but there's a little bit more to it than dressing for success. You have to dress for the audience you're about to meet. So if you're in a, you know, a creative office, like I am at One Create. So I have a funny story about that. So with One Create, who I recently joined as their director of business development, and they're a creative studio, right? So I went to my first interview. And mind you, I haven't interviewed for a job since 2005, you know. So I was like, okay, do I overdress or do I try to dress like a creative? And I know how creatives dress. You know, what I'm wearing right now is kind of creative. You know, I have my Vans on and some jeans and, you know, a button-up shirt. But I decided to go in a full suit. And it was in Florida. And it was in the summer. And I show up at One Create, which is the home headquarter office. And I walk in thinking, what did I just do? Because everyone's wearing Vans and T-shirts and jeans. And I'm sweating my butt off in this full suit, meeting the hiring director. So, sure, I was dressing for success. But I also was not dressing for my audience in that sense. And same, you know, when it goes to either meeting a sponsor or meeting a potential client, I don't want to outdress them. You know, sure, I could be fashionable, but I don't want to show up in a full suit if they're going to show up in jeans and loafers, right?
And so, I've always heard writers talk about writing for their audience. I've never really heard anyone really thinking about their fashion when thinking about their audience. That's good advice. So we have a mutual friend, Vicky Bowen Hughes, who's the director of Dress for Success, which for those listeners who don't know is a place where individuals can go and get suited for an interview to help them land that job. Maybe they could have gone there for this particular interview. But we heard early in the program how important it is for folks to polish their professional looks. So you just mentioned one of your pro tips towards dressing for your audience. What else do you have to help someone who's trying to master that look? And what do you look for in the way your colleagues dress?
Well, first I have to say Vicky Bowen Hughes is amazing.
Yeah.
She's a mentor of mine, a good friend of mine. And I love what she's doing with Dress for Success. So, you know, another tip with trying to dress, polish up your look a little bit. Shoes, I think, are very important. You know, have a good pair of shoes. That doesn't mean they can't be scuffed up. Sometimes scuffed up a little bit on the top gives it character. But depending, again, what are you dressing for? Are you dressing for an interview? Are you dressing for the office? Are you dressing to do, you know, to get behind a camera and, you know, be a grip? So, you know, make sure, I think, your shoes are important. It says a lot about you.
Right.
Also, don't be afraid to mix and match. That's what I do, because I'm not going to buy every single piece at Nordstrom or Saks or even H&M. I'm going to mix and match. Like here right now, I'm wearing these jeans are from a Short North boutique. This shirt is actually from online, but I had it altered by a local designer.
Nice.
And my shoes are from, they're Vans. They're from, you
and
know.
And I might want to add for those who can't see them that they're beautiful. They're silver and black checkered.
Yes. I'm a sucker for shiny things, and they are. And matter of fact, these were in the girls section, but Vans are usually unisex.
Right.
So I went over there, and the girls always, you guys have so much, like, better options. You have many more better options. And these were in size 6. And I was like, do you have these in size 10? She brought them right out. And I was happy.
Nice.
I was a happy camper.
Maybe designer is what's next up your alley, Tommy, to help kind of add some more items for men. So have you ever even had a fashion faux pas?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Actually, when I first moved to Columbus, it was like between 2005, 2008. That was the whole Ed Hardy affliction period, right?
Yes.
I think we all had Ed Hardy and affliction. So there were so many photos of me, and I'm Ed Hardy'd out. My beanie has a big skull with rhinestones on it. My shirt has these wings on it. And yeah, I don't want to say it's a fashion faux pas, because I thought it was kind of cute at the time.
Right.
But I look back and I'm like, yeah.
What was I thinking?
Yeah. Totally dated.
So you're the director of business development for One Create. How does your background in fashion help you with what you do with them?
So One Create works with a variety of clients, everything from, you know, Dior to Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a variety of clients across the board. And especially in the One Create Columbus office, we work with La Senza and Express, Bath & Body Works, Bed Bath & Beyond, 31 Gifts. I'm missing a few more fashion brands. But anyhow, you know, I bring to the table with One Create through my network, through Fashion Week and through Haman Talent, when I was at Haman Talent, the director there. Through my network, I bring to One Create these extra potential clientele that they have either not gotten into the studio yet for a tour or to even, you know, give them a bid on their work. And so that really helps a lot.
I see. Because I know when you were at Haman, you tripled their business while you were at the helm.
Yeah.
So you obviously have the history of being able to do that. So that's what you're bringing to that, to One Create as well. So Aaron, your partner, also seems to have good fashion sense. Do you make the choices as far as what he can and cannot wear, considering you're in the business?
So if Aaron is listening, he's not going to be really happy with me when I say I actually help choose his wardrobe most often. There have been a few times he chose his own. He did a good job. There are a few times he didn't do a good job. But we all make mistakes, you know. Thankfully, you can, you know, return things when you need to. But actually, his fashion sense has gotten better. But now it's just a matter of making sure that we're kind of in sync when we're going to events. Not that we have to be twinsies. But there, you know, if I wear pants, he probably needs to wear pants too. You know, so on and so forth.
Like kind of like the same kind of level.
Compliment each other, you know.
So there was an article about you in Columbus Monthly, which came out last year. And in the article I say, and it says, and I quote, "Locally, I spend quite a bit of my weekend time on my couch working on my laptop while halfway catching shows on Hulu and Netflix. You just described my writing process. I feel it, but when I have a film on, it helps the creative juices to flow. And also, it seems that Netflix is beginning to dominate the film industry and recently had two films shown at the Cannes Film Festival, to much consternation of the French film authorities. What are your thoughts about how film is kind of trending in this direction, having been, you know, the executive director of the Columbus Film Commission?"
So film, I mean, Netflix, I'm going to say, has turned the industry upside down. They, even at the awards, they had so many nominations. I think HBO was the top, and then Netflix was second as far as nominations were concerned. And it's just – and it's allowed – another avenue for filmmakers to have distribution.
That's true. That should be in and of itself good enough for people. So speaking of film, we talked about you being the Columbus Film Commission position held by John Daugherty now, who's also been here on U Inc. And we're seeing more and more films in Columbus. Is it the fashion now for film to abandon the pricey lots in New York and L.A.? Is that how you were able to draw some of those blockbuster films here?
You know what it is? It's the film tax incentives. It really is. I mean, if you look at Georgia, they have, you know, their film tax incentive, which has really created like the next Hollywood there. Louisiana had the same thing. And I you might have to correct me, but I believe they did away with theirs. They were one of the first states to have a film tax incentive. Ohio has one too, and it's up to 35% tax credit. So because of that, that's one of the first things that films look at. How can I save money when filming? And it's a nice paycheck they get, you know, after they film a $20 million film here.
And 35% is pretty up there. So on the Fashion Week Columbus website, you have a philanthropy meets fashion event hosted by CCAD. I was the model trainer for the annual fashion show, and which, you know, is another spectacular event in Columbus. And we have a great photo taken together at that event. That is one of my featured photos. I just love that picture. Can you tell us how important it is to give back and how it is truly fashionable, and perhaps a little bit more about this event in general?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, something we think about when we bring in a headline designer is, you know, not only do we want this headline designer to showcase their amazing collection closing the finale show for us, we also want them to speak to the local fashion designers and the local fashion design students. And that event, Philanthropy Meets Fashion, accomplishes that. You know, last year we had Adolfo Sanchez come in from LA. He's an internationally known designer. He has boutiques open. He's dressed A-list stars. And, you know, he did a Q&A session with Nia Noel. And we had a room probably of 100, you know, students and fashion designers and public, just the public, general public. And, you know, he speaks about his successes and failures, which you can't learn in school. You really can't. And not just that, but then he hangs out with, you know, everybody, and they get to build a relationship with him where a fashion designer might say, hey, Adolfo, I'm coming out to L.A. Can I visit your boutique? Can I learn where are you getting your fabric from? Mm-hmm. You know, these are things that are important to our fashion community.
Mm-hmm. And this goes back to what you were talking about earlier, just creating those connections and that networking is so valuable. So can you tell us where one would go if they wanted to participate in Fashion Week, either as a model, volunteer, or designer, and some of more of the events that you're going to be holding?
Sure. Well, as a volunteer, now we are almost a purely based volunteer organization, and you can definitely sign up through the website. We have a form that you can get to under the About section, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
As a model, we have had our model casting already for the finale show and the High Fashion Tea Runway show. However, we will be doing an open casting, digital casting for kids in August and September. And that is for a kids' fashion show that's partnered with Ronald McDonald House of Central Ohio, which they have an amazing, amazing mission. And if you've never toured their facilities, you have to go because they're really helping families in need.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have a kids' model casting very soon.
Great.
As a designer, we do put out usually in February and March an open submission form application. They can get to that through our website.
Okay. I might be submitting my kids for the
yes,
kids fashion
please
show.
Please do.
Okay. So final question. I want you to settle a fashion debate that I've been having with my husband and about how many colors you should have on. He maintains. He says it's 3 colors at total that you should be having on. Is this true? I've never heard of this.
You know, with me, if you look at me, I'm all blued out, really. I mean, except my silver and my black and my blue. And my blue bracelet,
right?
I like that idea. I also feel like that's a PowerPoint tip where you have no more than 3 bullet points on a PowerPoint. But who uses PowerPoint anymore?
Right.
I don't know. It just depends the person. It really does. It depends the person, the personality.
So it's not a hard and fast rule that you should follow.
No,
and you don't bother to count these things.
I don't.
Okay.
But maybe that's a rule he made up for himself so he can like stay in the right lane with fashion.
He insists it's a thing. I told him today. I said, Tommy's coming. I'm going to ask him to settle this once and for all. So thank you for settling this for me. And thank you for bringing your fabulous self to Ewing today, Tommy.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks. I enjoyed it. And now, a word from our person on the street.
So, Miss Beth, what are your thoughts on fashion? I like to be fashionable. I like dresses, but I don't have much chance to wear them. So, basically, my view on fashion is comfortable. I am most comfortable in stretch pants and T-shirts. But, you know, athleisure wear is kind of the in thing right now. For me, that's the only in thing. I very seldom wear a dress, so I would say my best fashion is leisure pants and T-shirts. That's what I'm most comfortable in. That's what I work in and I play in, and I will probably be buried in.
Well, comfort is fabulous. Thank you, Miss Beth. You're quite welcome.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to You Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.